Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately the man's eyes were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. The more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Stick your tongue out at me. No, I'm serious. Go ahead. Stick your tongue out at me. How dare you stick your tongue out at me. Today's gospel tells us the story. It's a wonderful story about Jesus healing the deaf mute by picking up the little spittle, pulling them aside. It's a very pastoral scene. But she touches the deaf man's tongue, and he clears up his impediment. Helps his hearing, but then he's able to speak plainly, which means he's able to become a person who speaks the truth in love with his tongue. In almost all the readings we hear at the Mass, we hear throughout the centuries, people who speak to us and communicate to us. How do they do that? By way of their tongue. Now, I had you stick out your tongue because I couldn't help but think about tongues. I went to the dentist the other day. The kids at school were having a great time. They had a Red Wing player there, but I was sitting in the dentist chair. You know, the dentist checks your tongue and pulls it out. I did that because it's another technique. It's like saying, "I don't want you to think about elephants." First thing that comes to your mind is elephants. So when's the last time you really focused in on your tongue? Probably been not very long. Or not many times. The tongue has been called the most necessary tool in all of civilization. It's hard to quantify, but it does take place, and we are judged by the quality of what is spoken from our tongues, in our mouths, what comes out. People will say to us, "Gee, that's a bright person." That's not such a bright person. "That's a kind person." That's not such a kind person. When you stuck out your tongues at me just a few moments ago, very rudely, I might add, you know, only part of it shows. The larger part is hidden, obviously, in the back of your throat. The tongue, I said, I'm going to look this up, is a mass of muscles. So I said, "Well, Jack, I wonder how many muscles are actually in your tongue." Well, a British scientist did that research, and he gave up counting after he reached 400,000 muscles in the tongue. Isn't that amazing? The real genius, the real magic of the human tongue is its capacity, obviously, to communicate. That's really what sets us apart from any other species in the animal kingdom. It's interesting to point out, too, since we're in an election year, that our greatest presidents have been those who used their tongue, their communication, well. Think of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It's also interesting to point out that our faith, our religion, comes to us how? By an oral tradition. It was eventually written down in scriptures, but it was spoken by way of mouth. Many cultures still today are those by which they communicate the story of their people simply by way of the tongue. We all know, like I said at the beginning, that the tongue can be one, an instrument that can be effective and life-giving, or it can be death-dealing. You know the insults, the unkind words, the put-downs, the sarcastic remarks that sometimes can easily roll off our tongues. Jesus was crucified by two very simple words that came from the crowd, you remember, on Good Friday. What do we say when we're doing the recitation of the Passion? Crucify him. Roll right off their tongues. Sometimes we crucify one another with our tongues. One of the bits of advice I was given just before I was ordained by a brother priest was this. So just remember, Doug, that in your priesthood, if you don't preach well, people will forgive you. You're not the best administrator to people, parish, people will forgive you. But if you speak unkindly, people will not forgive you. You probably encountered this, I certainly have, where, particularly with a priest, the power of a priest's words can really affect someone. When they've spoken unkindly to someone, I've met people who have stopped going to church simply because of the unkind words of a priest. The power to communicate, to speak, it can be life-giving or it can be death-dealing. On the other hand, the tongue can be a great healer. Think of the kind words that we receive, a pleasant word, words of sympathy, words of hope, words of encouragement when we need them. So I went back and I looked and I said, what are the references to the tongue in the Bible? And there are whole hosts of connections or allusions, at least, to the tongue. Psalms puts it this way. The tongue is boastful, deceitful. It is like a serpent's tongue. It's like a sword. Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs again, the healing tongue is a tree of life. Healing tongue is one of righteousness and of choice silver. I remember reading too, not from Proverbs, but an old proverb from a long ago, that to speak without thinking is to shoot without aiming. That's the deadly impact our tongues can have. This great sign, this great thing we God has given to us, the most significant tool in all of civilization. Will we use it to build up, or will we use it to tear down? There was another bit of advice a seasoned clergy member shared with me. I'd just like to leave it with you this day as we focus in on the tongue to speak, to communicate, particularly in the backdrop of Jesus curing the man who ended up speaking plainly, which means he spoke truth and love. This was the advice I was given for preachers in particular. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff. Nudge me, Lord, when I've said enough.